The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We've been studying in the book of Revelation, and it's been a revelation for us. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have. I feel like I have a close, intimate tie with seven places in Turkey that I didn't have before, having seen a lot of videos and did a lot of studying. So it's been really good. I've enjoyed it, and I've benefited from it, and I pray that you have too. But I want to talk about what I'm calling the final acts. You know, we have the book of Acts. Well, this is the final Acts. And I'm going to use Revelation 1:19 as our scripture for the series. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you for your word. It's indeed meat and drink unto us. And we rejoice in the living word that you've given to us. We know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but this Word that has been preserved on parchment and paper and now electronic media, that we can have it and we could study it, we could learn from it. So teach us that which we need to know from this ancient book. This we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. The book of Revelation, by its nature, is filled with imagery and stimulates our imagination, and it makes us wonder, what the heck's going on? I mean, we're not going to plow through it all. I've done that once before, many years ago, and I think folks just got burned out on it. Shouldn't, but we have. It probably lends itself more to a teaching class environment than it does to a preaching environment. But since we preach the front of the book of Revelation, I thought we'd preach the back of the book of Revelation and go through it, because this is where it gets really, really exciting. There are three vast areas of importance that are in the scripture that's up on the screen for you. It talks about the past, what you have seen. So we know that it's got historical value. It talks about the present. It says, what is now? So it has application for today. I know when you get to the book of Revelation, you say, oh, well, that's, we don't need to worry about that stuff. That's in the future. Well, it's not so much future anymore. Yeah. It's current events. But it does speak of the future, of things that will take place. So it does cover some things that are future. But the application in those three areas, and we'll cover that. In this final acts, we're going to cover Act 1 will be the judgment of the evil system. Act 2 is going to be love and marriage. I thought about maybe getting that song, Row, and said, love and marriage, and marriage. No, I don't think we'll do that. We're going to talk Act 3 about the rescue of believers. Act 4 about a future home for the bride. Every bride wants a new home. And Act 5 will be the final frontier, the new heavens and the earth. I might get some Star Trek imagery for you, you know, just to get your interest going. Well, we began our journey with studying the churches, and now we'll, in these final acts, we'll study the judgment today of the evil empire. The evil empire. It's not Star Wars. The evil empire is not Star Wars. The evil empire is a reality. And so we'll talk about that. And the good news is that the end of days, the final acts, Act 1, God finally, you know, I say finally, judges evil. Let's look at Revelation 18:20. Rejoice, O heart of you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets. For God has judged her with the judgment she imposed on you. Oh, Hallelujah. This evil world has mistreated God's people since day one. I'm telling you, it has. We've been abused and used and maligned and thought people call us crazy. There's something wrong with us, you know. We've created religion because we're emotionally unstable, and religion is a crutch for us. Let me tell you, I need a crutch. You know, and God created the crutch. It's called the cross. And that's what we need. So there's been unjust laws that have been made through the ages, even to this very day. Unjust laws have been made by this evil system. There have been forced beatings and imprisonment, wars, and death. One of the great mysteries for me, it's just my personal mystery, is I don't understand in the natural how the most precious thing that we have, which is our lives, you don't have anything more valuable than your life. I mean, you only get one, and you know when it's gone, it's gone. You'd think we'd figure out as human beings how not to kill each other and how not to have wars. I've got a student of war, particularly World War II, I guess because I grew up as a kid and that was still going on and it perks my interest. So, but nobody knows how many people died during World War II. And then, you know, normally we know 10 people die today, 20 people die. Nobody knows. The guesstimates are anywhere, I've heard, from 50 to 80 billion, million people, not billion, million people. That's a lot of people. You know, if it's, when you look at the United States, it's got about 325 million people. You take 20% of those people are dead. If you use some of the numbers that we're given. So I just don't understand it. You think we'd have figured it out. But I know spiritually what it is. It's evil. Evil wants to destroy humans. And the reason is because we look just like God. We're created in His image. And He hates us for that. So there's been no mercy on God's people. No mercy whatsoever. I think some of the most heinous things we've seen in recent years in my life is when ISIS decided to take Christians out on the streets and dress them in orange jumpsuits and decapitate them. Terrible. I've never looked at the videos of that. It's beyond what I'm willing to look at, but I understand it. So let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, evil's judgment. That was pretty cool. You like that? Kind of flew in. Look at that little plane flew in there. Evil's judgment brings the end of the world. Evil's judgment brings the end of the world. This is a little long passage, but I think you'll be okay. Revelation 1 through 3. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. That's pretty cool. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries." The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Now in the same chapter, verses 23 and 24. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of the bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's important people. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people, of all who have been slaughtered on the earth. Boy, that's pretty strong language, you know, and that's exactly what has happened in our world. So when we see that God is going to judge them, that's hallelujah time. That makes me feel good. knowing all the suffering that has taken place in our world. Babylon was an ancient city, but in the current application and in the future application, it's a world system. That's what it is. It's not just a city, it's the entire system. We broaden our study from seven churches, that's where we were, talking about the seven churches and what went on there as they dealt with the world, to look at the world system today. Babylon is a system of beliefs as well as a physical place. Babylon existed in antiquity as the arch enemy of Israel. Well, that's what it was. Nebuchadnezzar, the evil system of Egypt's pharaohs, Rome's Caesars, the church, Israel, our Judeo-Christian heritage, has been under immense attack for centuries, for millennia. And it goes on to this very day. The present personification of evil is the world as we know it. When we speak about the world, when we talk about the world, we talk about the governmental systems, the evil that's all around the world. That today, the things that happen in our world are just unconscionable. You just wouldn't believe that people would do the things that they do. The evil system can be characterized, as the scriptures we just read, by wealth, just excessive wealth. We in America are probably more guilty of this as a world system than any other place on the planet. There are little pockets of wealth around, but America by far is the wealthiest nation ever to exist on the planet. Which parenthetically makes me wonder why this new younger generation that's rioting in the streets wants to get rid of the system that made everybody rich. Yeah, just think about that. Remember the old story about the goose that laid the golden egg? You don't want to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. And the American capitalist, free, God-centered government has brought us to a place that the world would long for. The reason I know the world longs for is because if we opened up the borders, the whole world would pour in. From everywhere, people want to come here. They want to be a part of this. When my son-in-law became a U.S. citizen, and we went to that, there were, if my memory serves me correct, and Pat, you can help me if I've got it wrong, there were, I think, 135 people there that day. They represented about 40 countries, do you remember? Yeah, and they said how many different languages. You talk about a kaleidoscope of faces. It was a mosaic to see it. And when they stood there with their hands raised and, pledged allegiance to the United States of America. And one of the things that you say, if you've ever seen this happen, said they renounce every allegiance to any other government, potentate, leader, king, queen. You renounce it all. And they were so happy. And when they finally got to I'll call the amen, when they finally finished it, they applauded and jumped up and, they did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, which was nice. They all had little flags that they were waving, and they sang the national anthem, and they had an address via video from the President of the United States. I'm telling you, it was a big deal. People want to come to this place. And what made this place great is our faith in God, our Christian heritage, our hard work. America is an industrious nation. How many places, how many times have you got a long break? They make you work around it. You get a job, they're going to make you work. Look at Don, they won't even let him go to church. Making him work. But the American spirit is, work is good. My daddy used to say, hard work won't kill anybody. Or maybe we're retired on occasion, but it won't kill you. But this wealth has become excessive and we've become intoxicated with it. and we're thinking it's the end instead of the means. Wealth should be a means that you can use for Christians in the kingdom to give and support and to help others. Not only the local church, you need to support. So if you like air conditioning, you need to put money in the church. Otherwise, you won't have air conditioning, right? If you like a building, you got to put money in it. But there are worthwhile places to give money. Pat Robinson's Operation Blessing, and I don't normally mention major organizations, but one of the reasons I'm a fan of that organization is after Hurricane Katrina, when we were devastated, as you well know, they asked for the churches to come, the pastors, and get a free meal, a steak. I mean, the steak was like unbelievable. Nobody had steaks in this area. And we met, a little restaurant was open, the air conditioners were running, and sure enough, they gave us a steak dinner. And after the dinner, they said, and I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, I'm such a skeptic. I was waiting for something. You know, what do they want? Nobody gives you a free meal. You know, what do they want? And so the guy who was in charge stood up and he said, how many of you would like to have $10,000 in your bank account tomorrow morning? I thought, here it comes. You know, what do I have to do to get that? And of course, we timidly raised our hands. He said, good, if you'll give me your bank account number tomorrow morning, we'll transfer $10,000 into your church bank account. And if you need more money, let us know. We'll get you some more. All we ask in return is that you give us an accounting of what you did with the money. And we don't want you wasting the money on cheap stuff. If you're going to buy a generator, get the best generator you can get. Get, and when you finish using it, give it to somebody else. And I thought, no, nobody does that. I gave my bank account number next morning, and they began to search at 10 grand. I'll support an outfit like that. They didn't ask anything from us. And a lot of people didn't go. They didn't give the money to every church that went. In fact, they did give money to some that didn't go. They got to them later. But our wealth needs to be used for the kingdom and not to just for our excessive luxuries and pleasure. The evil system characterized by influence of merchants of the earth grew rich from her. You know, it says quid pro quo. You know, you do this for me and I'll do that for you. And deals were making. And deals became illegal. It became illegal to the detriment of other people. When people want something, why do you think people like George Soros and others plow hundreds of millions of dollars into the electoral system? Because they want to get things their way. And those millions of dollars have influence, okay? The powerful kings who committed adultery with this Babylonian system. I hate to even mention this name in church, but I need to for you to understand where I'm going with this. People who are abused and so immoral, like Jeffrey Epstein. You know, man, I tell you that kind of stuff drives me crazy. All right, but that's what's going on in our world. Immorality, so drinking of the scripture says this maddening wine of adulteries. You know, confession is good for the soul. I've been known before I became a Christian, this is BJ, before Jesus, to have a libation more than I should have. And when you have too much libations, for those who are wondering what that word is, if you're getting drunk, all right, your ability to function and think clearly disappears. And that's what the world does. It gets drunk on the immorality of what they're doing and so intoxicated by it that they'll do absolutely anything. The immorality of it all. Human trafficking. Y'all saw in the news this week where two raids by, thank God for these CIA, FBI, whoever group it was that was doing it, they rescued about 60 kids. Children, from the age, I think they said, it was like 3 or 5 years old, about 17 or 18. And they were indoctrinating them into sexual immorality. You know, I'd be glad to see those guys fly. You know, I'd say, well, that's not very Christian, Pastor. Well, I hope they get saved. But if they don't, I hope they fry real good. Who would do that to children? That's the world we live in. My good friend Cindy Collins, and you know Cindy, she's been here at this church. That little old lady, little young lady, sorry, Cindy, if you're watching. She goes down into New Orleans and other places and rescues people from human trafficking. I mean, she's braver than I am. Well, she's just, but she's tough in the spirit, I'll tell you that. So it's going on. Churches that are, what we're seeing is these young people in the streets rioting and doing stuff and not in church. Yeah, they're not learning the things that they need to know about God. The Antichrist philosophy, it says that in her was found the blood of prophets and God's holy people of all who have been slaughtered on the earth. There's not more than one way to heaven. There's not. There's only one way. I talked about this last week. So there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to bring this message to the world. I was kind of looking at a documentary about a town in Tennessee, I believe it is. Okay. Kentucky. That had a great revival, and this drug pusher is just a bad dude. Got saved. And he's in church raising his hands and worshiping God. He got saved. Salvation changes people. You know, a young, beautiful young woman, probably 25 years old or so, and they showed some pictures of her while she was indoctrinated in the drugs. And, I mean, you wouldn't believe it was the same one, you know. And she said, Jesus saved me and changed me. So the power of Christ to change you. That song we sang this morning. You got chains? He's a chain breaker. He can break those chains off of people. And we have the keys to those chains. You know, to unloose people, to get them set free. So that's our job to do that. I get to ask this question. Would God judge, would a loving God judge nations and people? Now, in the theological realm of the intellectual people, the answer to that is no, God wouldn't do that. In the reality of the Word of God, God has, will, and will continue to judge, and particularly nations. That's right. You want to skip judgment? You got to get saved. Because Jesus was judged for us. The nations judge themselves more than God judged. They judge themselves and self-destruct. Where's Rome? You can go to a tourist attraction, but the Rome of old doesn't exist anymore. We just studied about that. Those seven cities we studied about, Ephesus and Pergamon, you know, all of them, they're gone. They're just relics. You can go take pictures and walk around. Get a video. They're gone. And all the things that they were doing. Remember the thing we talked about those cities were doing? Their wealth, their power, their influence. It's all gone. There's nothing there. And beloved, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but America is not immune from that self-destruction. As we said one time, if America falls, it will not fall from an outside enemy, but it'll fall from decay on the inside. Immorality. This nation, our founding fathers said, was built for none other than a moral and godly people. None other. And the more we walk away from God, the more we have walked away from God, the more we have steeples with clay people on the inside who have walked away from the truth of God's word, the more dangerous it becomes and the more likely that America will fall. If God tarries, I don't want my kids living in a place that Antifa and some of these people that are rioting and the ideologies of the Democrat Party, I don't want that rule in my kids. He said, oh, you just said it. No, you mentioned the Democrat Party. You want to get a shock? Go read the Democrat platform for that they put out each presidential year. And go read it. If you can vote for that, I question your ability to think clearly. I'm not saying the Republican Party is perfect, but I'm saying that what the Democrats are offering is anti-God. It's anti-American in many ways. Nations are judged by natural events. I think it's just the natural events of life. Fires burning up California, earthquakes hitting. You know, forgive me, New Orleans, and forgive me, New Orleanians, and forgive me, people of Slidell, for what I'm about to say. But you know, sometimes I see these hurricanes moving this way, and I'm praying, God, make it go another place. And then the back of my brain says, why do you think the hurricane would miss New Orleans with all the stuff that they've done and are doing? And Slidell and the whole rest of us. More so there than any place else.
Prayer makes the difference.
Prayer makes a difference, but I'm telling you, I question sometimes how the debauchery that takes place just 35 miles away from here can get away with it. And while I'm mentioning that, just, I know it's a little early, and one of the best things that can happen because of COVID, I hope they cancel Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah.
I would be happy beyond belief. But they won't. They won't. The governor who shuts down churches won't close down Mardi Gras. You know why? Money. Brings in millions of dollars. Just let them get COVID and die. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm a pretty good judge of what goes on. I'm well informed enough to know that. But if Mardi Gras didn't happen, going down and worshiping evil gods, throwing up your hands, hey, mister, throw me something. You better be careful what you ask an evil god to throw you.
That's right.
Oh, it's for the kids, because the kids enjoy it. Take your kids to the zoo.
Yes.
Take them to church. Take them swimming. Take them something wholesome. But don't take them to Mardi Gras. Now, I probably lost half the people watching me on Facebook and the internet. And I can make enemies in a hurry. But I'm telling you, folks, this stuff has a price associated with it.
Right.
With my time, somebody said something.
Yes.
I know I'm in a minority, and I know I'm considered, you know, people say, oh, well, Morris, you're just too hard.
No,
I'm not too hard. I see the consequences of this stuff.
Right.
Nations are judged by other nations. Ask Germany, Adolf Hitler. Ask Mussolini in Italy. In Japan. Ask them if there was a judgment against them by the free, God-fearing people of the world. You bet there was. Beat them to a pulp. The only way we would let the war end, and boy, Churchill and Roosevelt and Truman and even Stalin got criticized for this. They said, we will end this war one way, unconditional surrender. And they beat them and bombed them, finally nuked them until they finally gave in. Unconditional surrender. Because they knew if they didn't get the unconditional surrender, that out of the ashes, that thing would rise again. So, yes, the nations are actually judged by other nations. And then ultimately, the final acts of nations are judged by God. It says, for God has judged her with the judgment she imposed on you. God will judge this nation and every other nation. The nations go before God, and they have to speak. Say, well, who is the nation? Well, it's the people that's in the nation. The ungodly, those who produce, encourage evil. You know, I'm digressing a little bit, but I don't want to digress. I'm a sermon giver. You know what does my heart good to know Hollywood's in trouble? They can't produce their movies. Well, la-di-da. the trash they've been putting out, they need to go bankrupt. Some of these actors and actresses are such hypocrites. They'll get on TV and say, well, we're against guns and the Second Amendment. And they'll get in a movie where they kill a million people. And do immoral acts and sleep from bed to bed.
Hypocrisy.
Ah! They're what?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. That's too good a word. I've got other words, but I won't use them. All right, I dipped my blood pressure up. Let me move on. Evil's judgment brings escape for the church. Revelation 18:4-5. Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. Put a sign on his desk. He was responsible. The buck stops at the church. The church hasn't done what you're supposed to do. We've become a social club, you know. And we need to wake up. We really do. We need to wake up. And I'm not talking into about. I know you guys, all right. But I'm talking about the by and large, the church. We're doing everything we know to get the gospel out. We got a radio station that, you know, if it wasn't for you, it wouldn't be on the air. You know, it's your money that's making it happen. We're in the newspaper every week. People are reading, hearing. It's because you allow, give me the time to do that. We have influence through the Silo Ministers Association, through the government system. So we're doing some things right, but we need to press in. Bobby Knight, who was the coach of the Indiana basketball team, and he's won more championships than probably anybody, they asked him one time, why is it that your teams win all the time? He said, because I teach my kids this. When you score, don't relax. Push in and score again. Most people relax when they have a victory.
Yes.
He said, when you get a victory, go. Press in, because they're not expecting it. He said, that's how we win games. I heard him say that. It really inspired me to hear him say that. Revelation 18:4-5. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven. Her sins are piled up to heaven. And God has remembered her crimes. That's the Babylonian world system. God calls the saints not to participate in the sinful lifestyle of the Babylonian world kingdom. I heard David Jeremiah this morning talking about this a little bit. We've become desensitized to this world. Things that we permit in church today, in church, would have never been heard of when I got in the kingdom just 45 years ago, whatever it is. We've become desensitized. We wear clothes that people wouldn't have worn. We say things people wouldn't have said. We do things and go places people wouldn't have gone. You remember the story of the frog in the pot? You don't kill him all at one time. Just turn the fire up a little bit at a time. And that's what's happened. And it's affected us. We've become tolerant of the intolerable. Never get used. Don't ever get used to the idea that it's permissible to abort babies. Never get used to the idea it's okay for men to have full marriage with men and women to have full marriage with women. Don't ever get used to it. Don't ever get used to the idea that it's acceptable for people to live together and not marry. Don't ever get used to that. Don't get comfortable with it. Let your words and your actions speak against it. I know you won't be popular for doing it, but got to stop the train someplace. Just stop it in your own life, in your own family. Just do it. We need to stop being so compliant. It says, get out. Tell the truth. Get out of that. Don't stay there. It's dangerous. Because when judgment comes, you'll get caught up in the fire of judgment. That's what it's saying. That's what it just read. just stay out of that. The issue ultimately is not sin. The issue ultimately is allegiance to God. We need some of that old time religion. You know? Seriously, we need to get back where, you know, God was not a profanity, but God was a prayer. We need to change. Let me talk to me, all right? I need to change me. Because you can't change me. And I can't change you. But God can change us. All right? Don't get involved in the value system of this world. Don't participate in the world's sins. What you do, two things you can do. One, you can pray. And the second thing is, you must vote. You need to vote. If you're not registered to vote, get registered. And when you're registered, vote. And vote righteousness. Don't vote party. Don't vote individual. Vote righteousness. Amen. As best I can, I'll tell you who the godly people that I know of that are running. And encourage you to vote for them. No saints out there. No perfect people. But I know some who give their allegiance to the things that we find valuable. Our mayor, Greg Cromer. Our coroner, Dr. Chuck Preston. Our DA, Warren Montgomery. These are godly men. Pat Bristol is a godly woman. You know, Mike Cooper is a godly man. He's not elected to office, but thank God for our fire chief in this district, Chris. My brain is not working here. I don't know why. Thank you, Chris. That guy, he's crazy for Jesus. He's nuts about it. You know, I mean, he's bold as can be. They dedicated the new building down the block, and we went to the dedication. They spoke more about Jesus than they did about fire engines. I'm telling you, that's the truth. I was there. I saw and heard it all night. So I went going to church. Don't take the risk that you might get caught up in the judgment of this world. Don't do that. You say, well, I'm born again, and I'm on my way to heaven. Well, make sure that you're not standing too close to the edge of the crevasse and might fall over the edge. I'm not worried about you going to heaven. I'm worried about your life here on this earth. Got a slide of something I picked up. This is Judeo-Christian Values by Dr. Richard Lee from the American Patriots Bible. Okay. Personal accountability to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you and I, or whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. The Abrahamic covenant is in Christ. It is fulfilled. All the promises to Abraham are fulfilled in the church. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Galatians 3:7. Dignity of human life. Thou shalt not murder. Doesn't say thou shalt not kill. There's times that you're saving your life and saving someone else's life. You might have to kill someone. But you shall not murder. There's a big difference. The traditional family. Genesis 2:23 and 24. It hasn't changed, by the way. It still says what it always said. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God only created two sexes, male and female. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you think or what some pinhead tells you, there's still only men and women. That's it. The guy who mapped out the DNA genes wrote a book. I read his book, and he said that there is no gene bits that would make someone other than a man or a woman. And he would know. He would know. You want to read his book? It's called The Language of God. He believes God speaks in music and in numbers. That's true. Anyway, traditional film. A God-centered education. Ephesians 6:4. Send your kids to the public school and let them be taught what the world wants them to hear. That's Ephesians 6:4. No. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The family is responsible for the education of children. I think COVID did this for us. It got the kids out of the schools.
Praise God.
You know, you've got kids being home taught. Well, that means that somebody can't go to work. Well, just have to live on one salary like everybody used to live.
That's right.
Come on. Now, let me just step all over your toes. The best, if you don't want to take care of kids and educate them, don't have them. But if you got kids, you're responsible to train them. It's not the church's responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's your responsibility. You know what the teachers are saying? I'm not making this up. You know what the teachers are, some of the teachers are saying? That they don't like having the school on the internet. Because conservative parents might hear what we're teaching them and get upset. Well, you would get upset if you heard what they were teaching them. Why do you think young people are on the streets today doing the things they're doing? Because from grade school through college, they've been fed this junk. And the parents haven't done anything about it. You know one of the things that breaks my heart? Just me, huh? Just weird. I hate to see school buses picking up children and taking them to school. I see these little bitty baby kids being taken off and put in somebody's care. God knows what they're teaching them. I don't know. I know they had good people in school, but their hands are tied. You talk to any Christian that's in the school teaching, and they'll tell you the stuff that they can't say and they can't do. It needs to be done at home. The church needs to get involved. We need to be on school boards. We need to say no and heck no, you're not going to teach that in class to my kids. We have power if we'll just use it. Say, well, I can't do anything. Well, tell that to Lisa Page. You don't know Lisa. You might have voted for her. She's on a school board. She happens to go to Slide Out Ministers Association. She's a wonderful Christian woman with two kids. And she decided to run for the school board and got elected. I promise you, she's having an influence where she is. She's only one of 10 or 15, how many, but she's in the fight. She's doing it. She's there. Getting involved. So I don't know that I want to do anything. Just do it anyway. If you have the ability, get involved in the system. Someplace. Go volunteer. Go volunteer to be a poll worker. Yeah. Get involved. It's not enough to sit in church and hear me preach about it. That doesn't do any good. What does good is when whatever you're hearing, hopefully from the Holy Spirit more than from me, stimulates you to think about getting involved. Write letters. Write letters to the editor. I promise you, if you write a letter to the editor, Kevin Cherry will publish it in the Slide Out Independent newspaper. He will. But many weeks, there's nobody writes anything. So he doesn't put anything in the paper. But if you write, he'll put it in the paper. He won't knock me off to put you in, but because I'm in there every week. But you can get in. Where am I here? A common decency. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Just being a good neighbor. I don't know how many of y'all read my article. One of the reasons I hate these masks, because you can't see me. You can't see whether I'm smiling or frowning. It's kicking my tongue out at you. It becomes a masquerade. You don't know. I had a mask on the other day. I went someplace and I was like I do. I'm just a friendly guy, you know. And I just tried to greet somebody, and they just kind of looked at me. They couldn't see my big smile. They didn't know. A godly work ethic is one of my favorites. 2 Thessalonians 3:12, 3:10, excuse me. If anyone will not work, neither shall they eat. If you can work, get a job. I hear this all the time. Well, my job doesn't fulfill me. You know, who told you you had to be fulfilled at your job? It's called work. W-O-R-K. You do what you have to. I never loved the computer business. Not one day of my life. And I did it all of my life. I did love the money I made doing it. I did it for money. I prostituted myself for money. I went to work. I did stuff I didn't like. I didn't like when I had my own business. I had to travel. I hated leaving my wife and daughter and my church and everything I was involved in and getting the plane and flying all over this country, installing computer systems at hotels. I hated it. But I loved the checks. If you can't get your dream job, get any job to support yourself and your family until you can find a better job. I just probably lost the last people who were watching us. I can chase a crowd away. But I don't know. We've gotten this crazy idea. I remember my first job I had, I worked as it was slave labor. I was a slave and I was laboring. Had a little grocery store before the advent of supermarkets. It was an A&P. And it was two blocks from where I lived. And I walked down there, and every Saturday I cleaned out the freezer in that place. And they gave me $5. And I came home with my $5, and my mama took it and gave me 50 cents. I learned what taxes were. My mother didn't need my $4.50, but she was teaching me something valuable about working and the cost of living. It costs money. Some people are so surprised they go to work for the first time and they think they're going to get paid $100 a day. And when they get the check, it's not $100 a day. It's more like $60 a day. So, well, what about that other $40? Well, it went to FICA. It went to the state. It went to the feds. It went to, you know, all the other stuff that they extract out of your check. So you got to make a lot of money if you want to enjoy life before the tax man takes it. So, when the church is silent, the only voices that are heard are the voices of Babylon. We need to use our voices. We need to speak out. We need to, things like this. Teach them to our kids. Teach them to your grandkids so they have an idea of what the value system is. Here's a good one right here. Free of charge to you. Okay, am I over preaching? Yes, I am, but I'm going to finish this sermon. I don't care. Evil judgment brings joy to the church. Revelation 18:20. Rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets and preachers and teachers and people in church. Rejoice, for God has judged her, Babylon, the world system, with the judgments that she imposed on you. There's a day of reckoning coming for the world. And for Babylon, for God's children, we will see the judgment of the world. Babylon will ultimately fall. Jesus is the ultimate expression of good conquering evil. That's what he came to do, to conquer evil. He not only dealt with sin on the cross, but he exposed the evil empire. Listen to this, Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He showed everybody up. And as they say, you ain't seen nothing yet. There is a day coming when this world is going to suffer the truth of seeing God and Christ and what this is really all about. The church suffered persecution from Rome to the USA today, but the church is triumphant. The church wins. The government persecutes the church. They have illegal laws. People in California right now, I was talking to a pastor today, this week, said that one of his sister churches in California has got five indictments against the church because they won't shut it down. And you know some of these charges are felony charges? You don't have to sue you if you have a felony charge. Do you know? A lot of places you can't get a job. You got to put that on every application for loans, for concealed carry permits, virtually everywhere. If you're a convicted felon, doesn't matter how small it is, you will pay a price. These guys are paying a price. Some of it's civil, but some of it's a felony. The revisionist history in schools, church is going to suffer prosecution because of that. They will be judged for what they've done. Attempts to destroy all references to God, there's a price that's going to be paid for that. The ultimate truth will prevail and the church will see the victory. Like Abraham who saw the smoke rising up over burning Sodom, the church will see the burning of Revelation in the world system. We need a slide. Oops, no, I went too far. Back up here. There it is, yeah. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her, terrified at her torment. They will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In 1 hour, your doom has come." We don't know when that hour is, but there is an hour in the future when that is coming. Jesus prophesied the end of Babylon and the world system, and it will come to pass. The church will be exonerated, and joy will break forth. But we don't have to wait till the end to begin to have joy. We can have joy today. Not silly happiness, but joy, that sense of well-being that God watches over his people. So that's the judgment of Babylon. That's in chapter 18, primarily in the book of Revelation. Go read the whole thing for yourself. Next week, the final act two will be love and marriage. Talk about the wedding of Christ and his church. Be a little easier than today. But don't walk out here and say, "Well, the pastor beat the sheep today." I didn't beat the sheep. I'm not a sheep beater. And I'm a truth proclaimer and try to share my heart with us that we need to know. We can't be soft anymore. We got to toughen up. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you and bless you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this word of yours. Father, if I said anything that's contrary to you today, let it fall to the earth. Let it be dust under our feet. Let us trample over it. And Lord, anything I said that it's of you, let it take root within our hearts and our spirits. Let it change us and let us follow your word. Not more St. Angela's ideas, but the word in the mind of Christ. Let that produce the fruit, dear Lord. We love you. We thank you, Father. And we pray together in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.